We turn in God's Word this morning to John 1, John chapter 1. We'll read the first 34 verses of this chapter. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed, and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him, and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. And this is the Word of God, holy and inspired. May He bless it to our hearts this morning. On the basis of that passage and many others, we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 26. Lord's Day 26. In God's providence, at the occasion of baptism, we are beginning that section of the Catechism that treats the doctrine of baptism. Lord's Day 26. Question 69. How art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? thus, that Christ appointed this external washing with water, adding thereto this promise, that I am as certainly washed by his blood and spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins, as I am washed externally with water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. What is it to be washed with the blood and spirit of Christ? It is to receive of God the remission of sins freely for the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us by his sacrifice upon the cross, and also to be renewed by the Holy Ghost and sanctified to be members of Christ, that so we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. Where has Christ promised us that he will as certainly wash us by his blood and spirit as we are washed with the water of baptism? In the institution of baptism, which is thus expressed, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." This promise is also repeated where the Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, during John the Baptist's earthly ministry, all attention was fixed upon John. John was at the Jordan baptizing, and the Pharisees sent representatives to ask John, "Who are you? And what are you doing here with this baptism?" All attention was fixed on John and on John's baptism. That was the wrong place for attention to be fixed. The point of John and his baptism was not John and his baptism. The point of John and his baptism was Jesus Christ and his baptism. And that was John's testimony to the Pharisees and their representatives, which testimony we read in John 1 this morning. When they said, "Who art thou?" he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And when they asked whether he were some other prophet, he answered, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." John pointed the attention of the people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then John said, "I baptize with water, but there's one coming after me who is greater than I, and he shall baptize with the Holy Ghost." The attention must be fixed on the Lord and his salvation. And so it is this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ himself has given us this font. The Lord Jesus Christ himself has given us this water and this sacrament of baptism applied to the children brought forward this morning. But our attention by this sacrament and by this gospel must be fixed upon our Lord Jesus Christ and upon his saving work of washing us from all our sins. That work and that significance of baptism is explained in Lord's Day 26 of the Heidelberg Catechism. "How art thou admonished and assured by a holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee?" There's the focus of the Church of Jesus Christ this morning. There's the object of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ and his one sacrifice upon the cross. Let's consider this truth this morning under the theme baptism. In the first place, consider the ceremony. In the second place, consider the promise. And in the third place, consider the result. Baptism, the ceremony, the promise, and the result. Let's begin then by seeing that baptism is a ceremony. It is a ceremony that our Lord Jesus Christ has instituted and appointed for his church. We read that in answer 69. Christ appointed this external washing with water. Christ appointed a ceremony for the church. Question 71 asks, where has Christ made this appointment and made the promise that goes along with that appointment? And the answer is in the institution of baptism, which is thus expressed from Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Jesus Christ appointed this ceremony of baptism for the church. What belongs to this ceremony? This ceremony is very simply an external washing with water. As the Catechism describes it, Christ appointed this external washing with water. That's what we saw this morning. That's what happened this morning. Water was taken and applied externally to the infants who were brought forward. An external washing with water. What else belongs to this ceremony? Well, the ceremony must be conducted by an ordained minister of the gospel. That is, baptism is not a ceremony given to believers so that any believer who feels the movement of the Spirit, as he will often say, may baptize. That's a huge problem in the world today, a huge problem especially in developing countries, that individual believers feel moved by whatever, the Spirit they say, and go off to a developing country and baptize many, many people. Baptism is not to be administered but by an ordained minister of the gospel because it's a sacrament given to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and in a worship service of the church or on the mission field under the oversight of the church that oversees that mission field. And then the third thing that belongs to this ceremony of baptism is that the name of the triune God must be used, the formula that Jesus himself gave us. I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. There's the ceremony of baptism instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. And now what we see about this ceremony is that it is so simple. It is the simplest ceremony. Water applied to the forehead in the name of the triune God. That's the ceremony. A simple ceremony. So simple that it can be administered in any circumstances in which the church finds herself. Today we have a beautiful building. We can come up to the platform and administer the sacrament from the font here. But the church in persecution, hiding in a cave, can administer the sacrament of baptism too, in a gathering that they may have in that cave for worship, in secret for fear of the persecution that may fall upon them. With a little water applied in the name of the triune God, the Church of Jesus Christ can administer this sacrament of baptism, a very, very simple ceremony. And that's humbling for us. It's humbling for us because we need it that simple. The simplicity of the ceremony testifies to our own spiritual sluggishness. The simpleness of the ceremony testifies to the weakness of our faith. We need something simple, a simple external washing with water, in order to assure us of the reality which is pictured there, washing with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time the sacrament of baptism is administered, that's a humbling message for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The simplicity of the ceremony, the simplicity of the sacrament, is especially due to the simplicity of the gospel that the sacrament pictures. The sacrament of baptism is so simple and so easily understood by all, even the young children in church, because the gospel is so simple and easily understood by all, even the young children in church. The gospel pictured by the sacrament is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ washes us of our sins. That gospel is not complex. It is not complicated. It is deep. It is infinitely deep because it is the truth of the infinite mercy of God for sinners such as us. But as deep as that truth is, it is so simple. The Lord Jesus Christ saves sinners from their sin. And so the ceremony of baptism is a simple ceremony. We ought to resist any attempts to make the ceremony more complex. There are those attempts to make the ceremony more complex, and the problem with making the ceremony more complex is that it takes our attention away from the reality of the gospel pictured in the ceremony and fixes our attention instead on the ceremony itself, or on the elements of the ceremony itself. The Roman Catholic Church infamously makes the sacraments complex. Rome does that when it comes to the ceremony of baptism itself, as well as the rest of the life of the Roman Catholic person after that ceremony. Rome makes the ceremony complex itself by all of the vestments, all of the different robes, all of the different things that impress the senses that are present in the Roman Catholic Church, so that the person sitting in the pew of the Roman Catholic Church is distracted by all of these other things. Rome makes the ceremony complex by insisting that a certain kind of water be used for the sacrament of baptism. Holy water. Water that has been specifically set aside and blessed by a priest, so that that water now, according to the Roman Catholic Church, is holy water. So that that water carries with it the grace of God upon whomever that water is administered. Rome makes the ceremony complex so that the attention is drawn to all of those earthly elements and not to the Lord Jesus Christ. Rome does that afterwards as well. Rome uses this holy water in all kinds of other ceremonies so that although the holy water itself is not a sacrament, that holy water is called a sacramental. That is, it's connected to the sacraments and connected to baptism. When someone gets married in the Roman Catholic Church, the rings that will be used are blessed with that holy water to remind the people of baptism. When someone dies in the Roman Catholic Church, the body is sprinkled with that same holy water before it is prepared for burial. By this, Rome complicates the sacrament of baptism and draws the attention of the people to all of those rites and all of those rituals instead of to the truth that the simple ceremony represents, the washing from sin in the blood of Jesus Christ. And we too ought to be on guard against complicating the ceremony of baptism. Perhaps the greatest danger for us when it comes to complicating this sacrament would be to sentimentalize the sacrament. That is, to make the emotional feel of the sacrament the main thing, so that when the sacrament is applied to the heads of the infants, we're looking inside for that emotional reaction. We're looking at how adorable the scene is of the little baby being baptized. instead of fixing our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ and His washing. There's nothing wrong with emotion at the sacrament of baptism. There's nothing wrong with parents and grandparents feeling that emotion and the congregation feeling that emotion as they see the covenant faithfulness of God to us and to our seed. There's nothing wrong with being able to see the family's faces as they answer the questions that are put to them. But the point of baptism is not what's on the family's faces. The point of baptism is not how it makes us feel emotionally. The sacrament is simple because the truth of the gospel is simple. The Lord Jesus Christ washes us from all our sin. And so when we, in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, administer the sacrament of baptism, let us have and continue to have a simple ceremony that points to the Lord and to His grace. The Catechism says that our Lord has added a promise to this ceremony. Answer 69, Christ appointed this external washing with water, adding thereto this promise. That promise is all important for the sacrament of baptism. If there is no promise of Christ with the sacrament, then it is an empty ritual, an empty form, an empty ceremony that has no meaning for the Church of Jesus Christ. But Christ has added a promise to the sacrament of baptism, which makes all the difference for baptism, because then baptism is effectual for the Church of Jesus Christ. And the promise that Christ has added to baptism is what takes our eyes and fixes them on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what turns our faith to the Lord and away from all of the externals. The external ceremony cannot, just as it may not, be the focus, because the promise of Christ takes our focus to Him. What is the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ that He has added to the sacrament of baptism? The promise is this: Jesus Christ washes sinners from their sins. That's His promise. I wash all my people from all the pollution of their soul, so that that pollution of their soul does not taint them. I wash my people from their sins. That's how the Catechism explains the sacrament of baptism, adding thereto this promise, that I am as certainly washed by His blood and Spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins, as I am washed externally with water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. The Catechism uses strong language here to describe the problem of sin that the promise of Christ addresses. And the strong language that the Catechism uses is this: pollution of my soul, pollution of my soul. The language the Catechism uses is this: filthiness. The filthiness of the body is washed away by water, so also the pollution of my soul is washed away by the blood and Spirit of Christ. That strong language to describe a strong spiritual reality. Sin is filthy. It's disgusting. Filth is pollution. Your sin and my sin is filthy and disgusting. We can talk about the filth of sin with regard to our own guilt and our own shame. Legally, sin is filthy and disgusting. When I sin, I deserve hell for that sin. I'm guilty in myself for that sin and embarrassed by it and shamed by it. That sin, that's what's in your soul and that's what's in my soul. Or we can talk about the filthiness of sin with regard to the corruption of sin, with regard to the bondage of sin. The man or the woman who is trapped in sin is in bondage to it, is at the mercy of that sin. If a child of God has ever fallen into a sin repeatedly so that we say he becomes addicted to that sin or is enslaved to that sin, and that child of God knows very keenly the filthiness and the dirtiness of that sin. That's what sin is in our souls. It is pollution and it is filthy. It is gross. The Catechism refers here to the filthiness of the body. And that's a good illustration for us to drive home how corrupt and evil that sin is in us. It's something like this, that a man goes out to a job that will make him dirty throughout the day, and the day is hot. It's a hot August day. The humidity is high. The temperature is high. As soon as he steps out of his house, he's sweating already. He works in the dirt all day long, gets that dirt under his fingernails, sweats all day. And by the end of the day, he stinks and comes home. And his wife says to him, right to the shower with you, right to the shower. Because there's a certain filthiness and dirtiness that has to be washed away. Well, that's the way it is with sin. That sin gets under our fingernails, in our souls, as it were, makes us stink spiritually. Sin is filthy. It is polluting. And the promise of Jesus attached to the sacrament is this: I wash sinners of that sin. I cleanse them so that they are right before me and holy in their lives. That's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ by his own promise attached to baptism. Now we can dig deeper into that and see exactly what that washing of the Lord Jesus Christ is, as described in question 70. What is it to be washed with the blood and spirit of Christ? And there are two parts to that: justification and sanctification. Jesus Christ justifies us and sanctifies us, and both of those are described in the Catechism as the washing that he applies to us. First of all, justification. It is to receive of God the remission of sins freely for the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us by his sacrifice upon the cross. The child of God who sins has all of the guilt of that sin attached to him. Guilt means that that child of God is worthy of punishment. It means standing before the tribunal of the holy God. What I deserve in myself is that that holy God say to me, you must be punished and you must go to hell. All of those sins make you worthy of that condemnation. But the washing of Jesus Christ is that all of those sins are remitted. They're washed away. All of that guilt is washed off my account. And my guilt is washed off my account for the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us by his sacrifice upon the cross. That's the promise attached to baptism. For every child of God who feels the weight of that guilt and blushes and weeps with the shame of his sin, the promise attached to baptism is that you're washed from that guilt. You are righteous before God and may stand before Him without any blush of shame, may stand before Him without any guilt, being washed in the blood of Christ. That's the promise of the gospel, the promise that Christ attaches to the sacrament of baptism. There's also the washing of sanctification, which the Catechism describes this way. It is also to be renewed by the Holy Ghost and sanctified to be members of Christ, that so we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. This washing of baptism addresses the pollution of our souls and the corruption of our souls. Sin is a power that takes hold of us. The promise of Christ in baptism is, I wash you from that pollution and from that corruption. It is not this, that I make that old man of sin in you better. I'm constantly scrubbing that old man of sin so that he's getting better and better through the years. That old man of sin is always corrupt. He can never be scrubbed clean. The only thing to do with him is to kill him, to mortify him. The only thing to be done with him is that he's left behind when we leave this life. But the sanctification is that Christ unites us to himself. We are made members of Christ and gives us a new man, a renewed man, a man who loves God and loves God's law, and a new man who more and more dies to sin and lives a holy and unblameable life. That's the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ to every child of God attached to baptism. When that child of God sees his own sin and the power that that sin seems to have over his life, how that sin constantly troubles him and tempts him, and that child of God wonders, what will become of me? Can I ever overcome this sin? And the answer is found in that promise of the gospel. You have a new man from Jesus Christ himself. You can die to sin more and more, hate that sin more and more lead a holy and unblameable life by the power of that Spirit and that Christ and that blood. These are the truths to teach our children as we rear them according to these promises given them in their baptism. My child, you are a sinner, and that sin is filthy. That sin is pollution. It is disgusting. It is spiritually abhorrent. But the Lord Jesus Christ has cleansed you from that sin that you committed, so that you are right with him and stand before him in righteousness. And Christ has also cleansed you from your pollution and corruption. He's given you a new man, and now you are to live out of that new man and hate that sin that you committed and flee that sin and walk in newness of life. This is the instruction to give our children as we point them to this washing of baptism. This cleansing is accomplished by the blood and Spirit of Jesus Christ. The questions in this Lord's Day indicate that. How art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? The sacrifice of Christ, his blood is pointed to. And question 70, what is it to be washed with the blood and Spirit of Jesus Christ? We're washed with the blood and Spirit of Christ. That means our justification is accomplished by his blood as applied by his Spirit, and our sanctification is accomplished by his blood as applied by His Spirit. Our salvation is by the blood and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation is not by something other than the blood and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether our justification or our sanctification, our salvation is not by our will, as though our will justifies us or our will sanctifies us. Our salvation is not by our works, as though our works justified us or our works sanctified us. Our salvation is not even by God's law, as though God's law justified us or God's law sanctified us. Salvation is not from those things or by those things. Salvation is from the blood and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Christ cleanses us from our guilt. And the blood of Christ cleanses us from our pollution. It is that blood of Christ that earned for us and purchased for us that new man out of which we live day by day. And the Holy Spirit of Christ is the one who unites us to Christ, to be members of Christ, so that our salvation, all of our salvation, comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism testifies that gospel truth, and the promise attached to baptism testifies of it. I am admonished, that is taught and assured, by holy baptism, that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to me, for by that sacrifice I am washed. And thanks be to God that this is the power of our salvation. For if the sacrifice of Christ is our salvation, then we are saved indeed. We are justified indeed, and are righteous before God, and we are sanctified indeed, and die unto sin daily, and lead a new and holy life. Thanks be to God that our salvation is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The result of this sacrament and this promise of the gospel applied to our hearts, the result is that the faith of the child of God is strengthened. That's what was happening in John 1 when all of these people came to ask John, "Who are you and what are you doing?" John pointed our attention, who read John 1, away from himself to Jesus Christ, who baptizes with the Holy Ghost. John pointed our attention to the Savior as the object of our faith, so that the child of God who comes to the font guilty and dirty, conscious of his sin, finds full cleansing and full washing in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in that blood alone. And that's the result of the sacrament of baptism and the promise attached to that sacrament this morning for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have seen that simple picture that shows us the simple gospel of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, so that our faith has been fixed not on ourselves but on the Savior, and our confidence that we are cleansed indeed grows as that faith is strengthened. What a result. What a good thing for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful sacrament that our Savior has given to us. Let us see the sacrament and let us hear the gospel and be admonished and assured that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage for us. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy word to us this morning. Bless it to our hearts. Assure us by the gospel and the sacrament that pictures the gospel of our salvation through the Savior. We thank thee for Jesus Christ, our Lord. Wilt thou build our faith and fix our faith on him. Hear our prayer, forgiving our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter number 143. We sing of washing and plead for washing in this psalm. For example, stanza 3, from all pollution make me clean, yea, whiter than the snow. The four stanzas, all four of 143.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.